Radio.
Pentecostalism, Our Youngest Siblings. An interview with Monsignor Juan Uzma Gomez from the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity in Rome. Okay, so I'm joined here today with Monsignor Uzma Gomez. He's a member of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity and is also quite an expert on Pentecostal communities throughout the world. So thank you very much for joining me, Monsignor.
My pleasure.
Now, I just wanted to first of all ask you about the growth of Pentecostalism and the Pentecostal communities around the world. I know that with the election of Pope Francis, there has been a little bit in the media of talk about the rise of Pentecostal communities within South America. However, this is happening all around the world. And I think
it's important to recollect that the Pentecostal communities started in 1906. So we are having no Pentecostal communities before that date. And on 2007, we are talking about 600 million of Pentecostals and Charismatics all around the world. So we are talking about the second community by number to the Catholics. It is really an important presence and is the effect also of a missionary zeal that they are having all through the world.
Mm-hmm. So can you explain a little bit about what exactly Pentecostalism is?
I would say that the Pentecostalism is the last product of Protestantism. It is a movement, a revival movement, that was raised through an experience, a spiritual experience that they would say is a personal Pentecost. What you are reading in Acts number 2 is what happened in a little community in Los Angeles in 1906. And that was growing because this experience was repeated in different parts of the world. And more than in 5-7 years, the Pentecostalism, the communities that had the same experience were in United States, in Sweden, in Chile, and also in England.
Mm-hmm. So can you explain why you think that is, that these movements have grown so rapidly in the last just over 100 years?
That's very complex to say why they are happening. What is this growth? First is the missionary activity is very strong. But we would say also that in our times, they are having a presence that is all around the churches, because we would say that Pentecostals are different. So we have the first group that is classical Pentecostalism, that were the denominations that grow out from this experience of Azusa Street Church. Then you have the entrance of Pentecostalism within the mainline churches, what we will call charismatics. In the Catholic Church would be the charismatic movement. And the third, that's on the 70s, 80s, is the non-denom Pentecostals. So groups that have the same spiritual experience but do not belong to any of the first denominations and are not in communion with the mainline churches. Why they are growing is really a question for everyone, even for Catholics. And I must say that there are a lot of reflection on that. But at times, perhaps the most interesting thing is why they are growing at expenses of the Catholics. That's the question for us. Maybe I can read what the bishops of Latin America said in 2007. They said, according to our pastoral experience, many times the sincere people who leave our church do not do so for the reasons that non-Catholic groups believe, but fundamentally for all that they experience. Not for strictly dogmatic, but for pastoral motivations. Not for theological, but rather for methodological problems within the church. In reality, many who cross over to other religious groups do not wish to abandon our church, but they are genuinely searching for God. Hmm.
So given that, what does that mean for the Catholic Church? How are we to reach out, first of all, to those who move away from the Catholic Church, I guess, towards these movements who are not associated with the Church? But also, how do we reach out to those who've never had anything to do with the Catholic Church?
I think the first is we need to have an examination of our role. Are we really accomplishing the mission we were given by God? And that question is important. Secondly, we need to establish good relations with Pentecostals. Not because we need to stop them, but because the gospel asks us to have good relations. When Jesus prayed and said that all may be one, he said that for every disciple of Christ. And Pentecostals, I would say, are the youngest of our brothers and sisters. But us being the youngest brothers and sisters of ours, they need also to be understood, to be open, and also to have the possibility of being in relationship with us. Thirdly, I think we need also to encourage ourselves to live a new spirituality, to be more conscious about the importance of the worship and of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Pentecostals are helping us very much on knowing what is the role, the active role of the Holy Spirit in the mission of the Church.
Mm-hmm. What else also can the charismatic movements within the Catholic Church teach the rest of the Catholic Church? Does this really show that, I guess, the Pentecostal movement or the experiences that these Pentecostal movements have are not external to the Church, that they really are part of the Church herself?
One of the most beautiful ways in which the John Paul II expressed ecumenism is that it's an exchange of gifts. Pentecostals gave a gift to the Catholic Church, which is the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, which is a movement in communion with the Church that is having the same spirituality, a common spirituality with Pentecostals, with the same expressions, with the same ways of praying and teaching. That is, I think, a blessing for the Church, but it's necessarily a resource for the future. They need to be in communion. That's important. Not to waste up the communion, but they also are invited to provide to the Catholic Church for a freshness of the Holy Spirit, that freshness that are part of their spirituality. I think on the relations between Catholics and Pentecostals, the charismatics, Catholic charismatics, are a bridge, are called to be a bridge, and they are expected to do that function. I am not quite sure this function has been so far accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Just another question, and I apologize if this is a little bit of a curly question, but why do you believe that, I guess, the Holy Spirit inspired this movement initially outside of the Church? Why didn't it start within the Church herself?
That is a very interesting question, and I would say that the inspirations of the Holy Spirit all through the history is a blessing for the Christian family at large. But if you look at the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, one of the research they were making is that in 1897, Pope Leo XIII consecrated the Church to the Holy Spirit and asked on the new century, in 1900, to ask the Holy Spirit for a new outpouring in the Church. That's interesting that we have the Catholic Church consecrated to the Holy Spirit, the Pope asking for a eternal novena to the Holy Spirit that we are going to do before Pentecost, and in 1901 we start to have the first expression of glossolalia. And in 1906, we have the Pentecostal movement. At times, we do not know, but I think the providence have its own ways. But we must not be, we must not overcome the situations that were around that. So there are a history that is more intertwined than we expected or we know.
Mm-hmm. And just finally, as individual Catholics, how can we contribute to this ecumenism between the Catholic Church and the Pentecostal movements?
Be proud of being Catholic. Be proud of your identity. Be ready to share what you believe. Be ready to grow spiritually in your own tradition. Be proud of your identity. Open up to the other's identity. Try to clarify the ways and to pave the path for dialogue. You do not need to be aggressive or being aggraded by the others. You need to open up a new stage of relationships. And I would say one of the most important for us in the ecumenical movement is pray. The unity is not a product of men and women efforts. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So let us be confident on the Holy Spirit that will do the unity how, when, and in the ways they wish.
Well, I really hope that all Catholics can join together and Pentecostals can join together for prayer for that Christian unity so that we can be one as our Lord prayed to the Father that we'd be one. So thank you very much again, Monsignor.
Has been my pleasure.
Thank you.
That was Pentecostalism, Our Youngest Siblings, an interview with Monsignor Juan Usma Gomez. For more interviews, talks and shows, visit cradio.org.au.